Hello, all you comics enthusiasts, and welcome to another edition of Bargain Issue Comics,
a podcast.
Hello again. I am Corey, and over there is Adam. And today, we're going to be talking about Maestros. How you say it, right?
Maestros, Maestros. You know, I am always who you want to ask about pronunciation.
You have not led me wrong yet.
Maestros is how I would pronounce it.
Maestros.
This is not to be confused with Maestro, who is Old Man Hulk.
I was searching for stuff about it, and I kept finding that. I was like, all right, that makes sense now.
Yeah, because he changes his name. When you get old, you change your name.
Oh, yeah.
Wolverine stops being Wolverine and goes by Old Man Logan, you know, like you do. It's
Old Man Logan, all first, no last.
I love this book. Let's get in it. Let's get into it. So, because I've got like front and back on my notes today, so I got way lots of notes to talk about.
Okay, all right. Let's start here. So, my first question is: have you read this entire series?
Well, hold on. Did you not do the trade paperback?
Yeah. Why?
Did you do? There's only seven issues.
It's just when you had recommended it to me, I didn't know if you had read the whole thing through or
I only have the trade paperback. I've read the whole book. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So yeah. I
not just like the first issue. No, I read all six of them. The whole
okay,
thing.
Okay, cool. I did the same. Just what I didn't want to start talking about stuff and it's like, oh no, and it's like that's
No. Before we go too much further, don't we got to do the boilerplate. People love the boilerplate. Actually, nobody's ever said anything about it, but I feel like I have to do it. Especially since I don't do it on the YouTube page, I have to do it here to feel like.
Well, I mean, they could see it. They could see the book. I think they can gather enough information out of that.
I hope people are enjoying that. It seems like they are. Steve Skaros, Dave Stewart, and Fonographics made this Bad Larry Jerry. The book says it's $16.99. 1631. You can get over on Amazon without any shipping. They do sell a used copy through their whole friends with Amazon's, whatever the hell they do. 135 with shipping, so you can get it. You can get a discount there on it. What'd you do? Did you go to a store?
So there is a website I like going to where you can get used books called abebooks.com, and so I got them off of that. It is, I think, maybe $20 for all of them.
Oh, did you buy single issues?
Yeah, I did. So that I didn't realize that at the time, and then I saw the trade paperback, and like the bigger edition was like, oh well, shoot, it's fine. I have it. It's
okay,
not a bad.
Okay, you fell into the honey hunt yourself.
I did, but it was fine. I like that website. I can find decent stuff on there for not an arm and a leg. So I wasn't out a lot. I'm not mad about it.
I think that Amazon actually uses Abe Books.
Oh, okay.
A-B-E, yeah?
I don't know. Abe. I don't know.
Like the name Abe, not yeah, got it. Yes, I think that I've seen Amazon pull them up. So anyway,
oh, okay, cool.
192 pages if you get the book that I got, or I imagine it equals 192 pages. Maybe you might get extra if you buy it single issue. I have no idea. Comics made this 2017. They were originally published. The trade paperback came out 2018. It says on here that there are 16 years and up and that it has an M rating.
Oh, yes.
I would actually say it probably has an X rating. I'm pretty sure in the film rating, full frontal male erections get you an R rating. I'm not sure. And sorry for not warning you that this story had full frontal male nudity in it.
It does several times, actually.
You know how I've been telling you the dimensions of the books? This one is 6x1x10, it says. That 1 inch that they're saying there in the middle, that is like, that's a hopeful 1 inch. Like, really, that's a quarter of an inch cold, okay? Anyway, talking about male frontal nudity. Sorry about that.
Not even gonna go near that.
So that is the boilerplate. Definitely for adults. I can't stress that enough.
Oh yes.
Like I said, absolutely. Anytime you see a wiener in a comic book, you should probably not let your 4-year-old or 5-year-old look at it.
No, this is best kept on the high shelf away from them for a while. Or until they figure out the internet, whichever happens first.
Corey, can you break down this book for me? What happened in this book? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. This, dear listeners, was an absolute trip. This is my first time reading a work done by just Steve Scrosi, or at least the majority of it. And basically, we have the most powerful wizard in the universe is murdered, and his son now takes over and gets into various shenanigans that also involve the people that don't really like that he's become the new strong or greatest wizard in the universe. And it is also a very interesting, I guess, sibling rivalry story, too, because I didn't see that coming.
That's spoiler town, Corey. You got to throw some spoiler in there.
That's why I was asking up front, had you read it all?
I gotta make sure you get this one. Yeah. That's why we're here. We don't do the whole worrying about spoilers.
I don't want to go into every single piece, but there's definitely, I especially like the ending of the next to last issue.
The penultimate issue.
Thank you.
Very cliffhanger, and God, the kind of cliffhanger like, woo, wait a minute, what?
Woo, I love that ending.
How do you fix that? And love those moments where in stories you're like, well, you just painted yourself in the corner. How are you going to get out of there? Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a cast of characters is quite diverse and colorful.
Mm-hmm.
It is a masterclass on character design. We got aliens, we got monsters, we got devils, we got strippers, we got it all, man. It's all in here.
You got demon strippers.
Yeah, that show up and eat you. I love, the humor is so,
it's not even subtle,
it's straight up just, it's funny, almost, and it's slapstick funny.
It really is, but it's also kind of it. There's some heart to it too. I don't know how to describe it other than just like there's some heart along with that slapstick.
My introduction to Steve Skaros was The Art of the Matrix.
Okay,
he does a lot of the storyboards for the whole Matrix trilogy.
Very cool.
I don't know if he did anything with the most recent one. I imagine he did. There's no reason why I think the Wachowskis would stop going to that well. It's clearly not dry. So his drawings clearly have action movie in them. Like his whole DNA is got, I know how to pace an action scene.
And he does.
It is. It starts off and to see a single image have that much motion and action in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense because it's just one image, but there's so many different people moving in those images that it makes a very kinetic single image.
It's very much like I got Darryl vibes out of it. Not necessarily the exact same art style.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, I feel that the two of them, they're actually friends.
Fun
to see them on social media, acknowledging each other because they they both worked on the Art of the Matrix. They did, Jeff Darrow did a lot of stuff, and Steve Scorsese did a lot of stuff.
That makes sense with some of how the robots look in that movie and some of the ships, actually.
Huh. Oh yeah. On the podcast YouTube channel, I think the next time I do a Darrow, you're gonna get to see that book because I've talked about The Art of the Matrix a couple of times. It is
okay. Yeah. No. Book. That. Yeah. Look forward to that, everyone.
And that is a solid inch on its size. this paltry inch over here. Looks
you,
like
you have the worst mutant power. You know that, right?
Mine? Why? Is my mutant power dimension? I can tell dimensions.
He can eyeball dimensions within a quarter of an inch.
It's funny that you say that. I've been reading a physical book, like not a comic book. I've been doing an adult thing.
Good man.
Called House of Leaves. It's a very, very good book. But the biggest thing about it is that it's a house where the inside of the house is bigger than the outside of the house.
So like TARDIS style?
Is that you're the second person that described it that way? Exactly like that. not like TARDIS style, in that it's more like the back rooms and that it's growing.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's a creepy one, but that's not a comic book. And it's I don't want talking about art books and comic books. I mean, regular novels. Excuse me. I am talking about comic books, and that's what I'm supposed to be talking about. It's comic books. So we got the king of all the magic people, the Maestros.
Mm-hmm.
The former one was Mithra. Methura. I don't know.
I think that was it.
It doesn't break it down. It doesn't give us a bad man.
Phonetic guy.
He is a bad man because, you know, he has all the power in the universe.
Mm-hmm. And he is not afraid to use it however he sees fit, and is extremely cruel to his own son. One of many, but still very
one of
cruel.
Many. So Mithra's granddaddy, I think it was his granddaddy, one of his older relatives, made Earth. And they made Earth because they were bored of the universe and all the magic that was in the universe. So they made Earth to be a place with no magic. So basically, he made Planet Muggle is what he did. And on Planet Muggle, there is one special person, one woman, Margaret, who actually has magic. So she like develops magic in of her own right. And that's Will's mom.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes off and becomes an apprentice to the Maestro and ends up marrying him and having a kid with him. And long story short, Will ends up getting exiled to Earth. Exile is what saves him.
He does not fit in with the society, the magic society that he's brought to. It is, like I said, very cruel to him. And like Adam said, it's the only reason that saves him, because they probably would have killed him.
Yeah, he is a bad person.
Yeah, like, Mithra is a bad person.
Well, Mithra is a very cruel person. Will is not that far from his father. Will is not a good person.
No,
he's not a good person by our standards, and he's not a good person by their standards.
No,
like by our standards, he's too powerful, I guess, and therefore cocky and doesn't need us. And by their standards, he's too sweet. He's too nice. But so he doesn't fit in anywhere.
What's so weird is throughout this, like, I always have the constant thought of, yeah, Will is not a good person, but there's also some bizarre moral compass he has. I'm not saying he always follows it, but he definitely has a moral compass throughout this. So it's like, huh, you're doing this for self-serving reasons, but all right.
Yeah, to that very point, once he gives the oil man a big Johnson, He even sighs. He has a really self-reflective moment, and that's great for us as an audience that we know that he knows. He says, "I'm not a very good person, am I?" to himself. So, and he says it to himself, and we're like, "No, you're not."
I really love the fact that that's so early on in the audience's introduction to his character, like, because you don't get his backstory for a little while, and I like that. Those are the first images you see. So they're. Scorsese does not pull punches. He gives you, here is Will Little, the character you're going to be following, everyone.
Well, even after that, like, it starts off at a clip. It, like, right off the bat, you see the old Maestro, you see Mithra die. You only ever get to experience him in flashback.
Mm-hmm.
But right off the bat, it is a bloodbath. It starts with action, and you see the big bad, Marduk, being the big bad mm-hmm. in the best possible way right from the beginning. Oh, he's such a good big bad.
He really is.
He between him and Will, they are the two sides of a bastard father. That's the spoiler we're coming at. Marduk is Will's brother. That is the big spoiler, ladies and gentlemen. and the reason, we'll get to that here in a second. The reason Mithra is a bad guy is really hilarious. I mean, it is the epitome of black humor to a T. But I'm getting ahead of myself. There's a great moment when one of the aliens says that I'm moving to Canada when they find out that he's the new maestro. And I just, that's so just brilliant. It's a throwaway line, and it just, you know, 2016 had happened, and this was 2017, so I don't know. There were a lot of people saying they were moving to Canada.
Yeah, me too. So I mean it.
I wonder how many people actually moved to Canada. Canada. Canada.
I appreciate little just throwaways like that are great. We were talking about King City a while back. I think that's just one of my favorite things that comics as a medium does. It's like a good throwaway joke. Doesn't have to advance the plot. It's just there. Enjoy it.
You know who I feel? I feel like manga embraces that even more than Western.
Yes.
This is a good moment to take a second and reflect on the fact that Steve is from Canada. I don't know why that is a good moment, but let's take a moment for there.
I mean that makes the Canada joke there make more sense now. Is it get a little swipe in? Why not?
And you know too, because he's probably up there in Canada. Like, I don't want those people to move here.
It's like, no, we have our own crazies.
If I was going to have a soundbite to describe this book, I would say that it's Harry Potter for perverts. I've heard Saga described as Star Wars for perverts. This is Harry Potter for perverts.
Sagas.
I have not heard that
description for Saga, but we're talking about maestros here.
I don't know if that's popular, but that is definitely one that stuck in my head. So I was like, if that gets to be for perverts, this is definitely for perverts.
You know what? It is, like we said at the beginning of the episode, everyone, it does not pull punches. It is raunchy as all hell what it wants to be. The whole trip back to hell when he's pleading for help just had me laughing so much.
Oh yes, that whole thing with the hell. And also, let's talk about how much Will gets his ass kicked. But he gets better.
He finally starts to handle himself towards the end. But yeah, he gets wrecked for a man. His flashbacks are just depressing.
Aren't they? You see why he's such a shit, though.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense.
So how would you, if you had magic, what would you do in a world where you had magic? Would you find a way to cheat? How do you think you would cheat if you had magic?
I don't know.
Because Will does it so fluidly. It's not even funny how often he does it.
It's his default mode. It's kind of funny, actually.
So he uses cell phones. He takes pictures to cheat.
I love that's how he solves the whole big bad ending of it. I don't want to ruin that part of it, but
let's do ruin it, because you kept talking about, and it kept me like, so did he make more? Is there an eighth issue? No, because it very easily could.
Mm-hmm.
It very easily could, because at the very end, we as the audience get that dramatic irony of seeing what he does with the cell phone. And we know that he tricked everybody else into thinking that the cell phone that was destroyed was the real cell phone.
Okay, so let's start from the penultimate issue's ending. So let's start from there and get into this, because this is what I wanted to talk about earlier on. At the very end of this comic, it's revealed, like Adam said, that Marduk, I'm getting that name wrong probably, but Marduk and Will are half brothers. And Marduk had been, because Mithra, being the petty bitch that he is,
showed up.
Yeah. And so he shoves his son, who would the would-be Marduk, into a, I guess, a endless void where he just falls for I don't know how long, but his body decays. And
he gets older. He gets bigger.
Oh, he gets bigger.
He was a little kid. He was like a teenager when he gets like a preteen when he gets shoved in.
And basically, he just comes to the conclusion of, all right, nothingness is the best thing. Let's go do that. And he goes off on his revenge tour, killing Mithra, and all for the goal of taking the big, powerful book that allows them to, what is it, like, recreate the world in their own image or something, right?
Yes.
And
it's the reset, or whatever it is. But yeah,
and it's got a name. Like Book of Remaking or something. That might be it or might not. But
I think you're right.
Once he we go through a lot of twists and turns. Willie trying to get the help from hell, that going or backfired horribly on him. Really, really cool battle scenes and art. My goodness, I'm rambling here. But anyway, let me get to the end of this. And so
The battle scene between Heaven and Marduk's forces. God,
it's so good.
Oh, and talk about so the detail good. On that one. That's so much detail.
I mean, I was impressed. Just the stills of showing, there's the part where it's Marduk's army fighting the demon army, and that's just happening in the background.
Yeah, right? It's thrown away. Like, it's not as important as, I don't know, as the rest of the story between the elf guy and, like, it's background noise.
Oh,
it's so massive in the background.
I can't believe I didn't say this earlier, but man, Will's mom is awesome. She's such a badass. Oh, Margaret.
I love that sword. She's got a talking sword that is surly and, He's a good character, that sword.
That sword instantly reminded me of, so you remember in Power Rangers, like, what is it, the White Ranger has the talking sword?
Oh, yes. I think you're right.
We've got a really angry sword now. I love it.
I played the video game High on Life. There's a little angry sword in that one. That's just like that's becoming a trope, the angry talking sword. what is it? A Soul Hunter where Excalibur is in there as a character, and he's like, "You fool!"
I'm not like sure.
Soul Hunter, Soul Eater, whatever it is. So, talking about family, I like how Will looks like his dad, and you can also see Will's. I mean, you can see Mithra in Marduk as well. It's the nose and the eyes. Mm-hmm. There's a great scene where Will turns and looks at somebody. You're going to try and tell me what to do? His eyes do the same thing that his dad's does.
Ah, yes.
Getting all like fiery and stuff and turns into like a little dot pupil. And I thought that was neat. It's just a different color, but it's still his dad. Another good moment. Sorry, because we're running out of time, I want to bang out all these notes that I love.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Gary, the flower guy,
Gary.
and then Marduk eats his face, and he like starts hollering. Of like, I don't know.
Oh,
I
just my god! That was
a good moment. Needed to throw that out there. Marduk has a great ending. I love the ending from Marduk as well.
Yeah, I was really surprised. That's what he did with the character. The end. I'm saying, like, all right, cool. He gets him a second chance.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Majin Buu.
Yeah, he turns it. Yeah, oh my god!
And as far as I can
really
tell,
powerful.
I think that Marduk actually has his memory wiped. I don't think that Marduk has memories of what happened. I get that feeling. There's really nothing to indicate it one way or the other, but that's the feeling that I get, is that he's tabula rasa, that he's coming back right where when his dad threw him into the void.
I can see.
I don't know.
But I really like that, even despite Will's shittiness and, I don't know, somewhat justified reason for never bringing back the person who destroyed the entire universe, but we can leave that aside. Barda getting a second chance, just saying, all right, here, go with social services. You're clearly messed up, kid. You need some help. And it's like, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, right. And there's a social worker. That's right. There's a social worker that does show up. Get him the help he needs because he needs it. Before we finish, I do have one other thing that I really wanted to talk about that I don't think that we've not talked about it enough. Dave Stewart.
Dave Stewart.
Dave Stewart has also worked with Jeff Darrow. I feel like his color is worth mentioning. That he is a great colorist. Probably one of the best point where I can't think of another colorist. He's probably the only colorist that I can think of.
It's color? Such a striking, vibrant, like his page spreads, especially splash pages in this series, are so, it's just very pretty. And sometimes color can take away from the art itself, but it meshes so well with it. It's very impressive what they do as a team on this.
I want to bring chapter 3 in on this one, because very first page of chapter 3, when Rin, Will's ex-girlfriend, on again, off again girlfriend, opens the book, and just the color on this page, it's like a neon dream is how I can probably describe it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Worlds of and the blending is really what I think that takes him to the next level, is the shading and blending that he brings to the table. And he works so well with the lines he's given. The ink pages that he's given, he makes it feel like they were always hand in hand. That the color was right at inception with the drawing, but it's clearly a different person.
I don't think I've found any, but I would love to read an interview maybe with them, Scorsese and Stewart, just kind of talking about their process of storyboarding everything out and just doing the layout and figuring out how they really want it to look. I like that kind of process stuff. So I'd be interested to see if that's out there somewhere. I have to go look for it, actually.
Speaking of look for it, I want to look for a wizard hat. Man, the wizard hats in this, so much cooler than all the other ones.
That is true. Normally, it's kind of a standard one note, but they got creative with it. Scorsese seems to have had some real fun doing designs in this, and I appreciate the time he took.
He's so good at it. You don't have this on my cover. I think it might even be one of your covers. Will is sitting on the throne, playing with his phone, smoking a pipe. And down below him are hands. It's just a whole bunch of hands praising, being raised up, held together, from all different species. And that's all you get is just hands. So much character in a single pair of hands.
Right?
Or a single hand.
And then the added bonus of the eyes watching menacingly behind him.
Oh yeah, Marduk's there. I think it's cool that Marduk is kind of the mastermind, but you see him at the beginning as scary. Then the next time you see him, you think, oh, he's just being used.
Yep.
And then you realize, no, this guy is planned at all.
I did not see that coming.
Oh, he's such a good villain. Highly, highly recommend this to you folks out there in the world. Corey, what did you think of this one?
I like this one a lot. I'm happy you recommended it. When you first told me about it, I was kind of saying, I don't know if I'm going to be into this one. But combination of the art, the story, the comedy with it, the dark humor, very dark humor, the action scenes, I really enjoyed this story. And it's made me start going to look out for other stuff Scorsese has done in the Marvel Universe. So thank you, man. I appreciate it.
He's done Wolverine, Gambit. He's actually got another one with Image that I recommend even more than his Marvel stuff.
Okay.
Post-Americana. Ooh, that one's good.
Okay.
Ooh, that one's good. I like his other stuff that I've seen, but Post-Americana is probably second to Maestros.
All right.
And actually, he does one with Brian K. Vaughan.
Mm-hmm.
United We Stand or something like that.
Oh, you know what? That's actually on my list. That's one
America
of the things I'm looking at.
Invades Canada. How crazy is that? You know he's scared of America when that's the case. So I highly recommend him. Corey, what do you recommend today for me? What should I go out and read?
So, all right, in the vein of some interesting, a little more kind of maybe supernatural, but also definitely not for kids comics, The Shadow, Fires of Creation. It is the first trade paperback in a, I don't know, maybe a like mid-2000s run of The Shadow. I had never read it before. A friend of mine gave it to me, and man, is it good.
Who knows what terror lurks in the hearts of men?
That is The Shadow. That's the one.
Holy crap. I didn't know there was like modern comics of The Shadow.
I didn't
like,
either.
Shadow, we stopped like getting him like back in like the 40s was the last time that they did that. And then they pulled it out to do that. What is it?
The movie?
Yeah, the movie with one of the brothers, one of the bald ones. I can't remember which bald one it is.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think it's Alec. I think it's Alec Baldwin.
But yeah, Dynamite Comics, it's they have a run, and man, the first trade paperback, real solid, real solid.
The Shadow, Fires of Creation. Ooh, mm-hmm. I'm excited. I always say that. Who knows? The Shadow knows. That's always what I say. It's rent-free in my brain. Excellent.
All right. So with that, Adam, do you have any words of wisdom for our wonderful listeners to take home with them?
It says here, find out what to say at the end of the show for the podcast.
There you have it, folks. Insert your own words of wisdom here.
Or you could post it on Facebook or down in the comments on one of the YouTube pages. I don't know. Do whatever you want.
Wait, specify the YouTube page. We don't want them just commenting on any one.
Oh, no, I want them commenting on any one. But if you do, make sure you mention our name. Just randomly. Random.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening again. Adam, always a pleasure.
Oh, I can't wait for Deluxe Week to do it again. I said that real good.
Just gonna roll past that one. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.